I won't obey your commands. I will not listen to your word. I will call the shots. That's what sin is. Sin is defined oftentimes as missing the mark. Well, if that's missing the mark, that's what it is. I got to tell you, I'm very excited about this. And some of you who like R.C. Sproul will like this. R.C. Sproul was talking about this, and he was talking about this word. And if you know R.C. Sproul, he likes word studies. And he talks about Episcopalian. That's where this word episkopos comes as a noun. And the reason why the Episcopalians are called Episcopalians is that that's their form of government. They have bishops. And so as we look at this, he said this for an interesting way. He said that he has visited episkopos. The word episkopos is composed of a prefix and a root. The prefix is epi, which serves to intensify the word with which it is combined with the root word skopos. You guys can see the word skopos there. We get our English translation scope from that, like mouthwash. We translate it to mouth. No, we don't really. That's not what that is. So this is about a scope, like a rifle, a long rifle has a scope. Other things that have a scope, a telescope, a periscope, a microscope. All of these things are instruments which are used that help us to see things. Now, if I came to visit you, what did I do? I came to see you. I came to visit you. And he's saying that God is the divine visitor, that blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited. He is the episkopos. He is the visitor. He's come to see us. But listen to these words, the periscope and microscope. What are these instruments used for? They help us to see things. If we were to add the prefix epi to the word scope, we would have an instrument for intensive observation, right? Microscopes are used to see small things, and we couldn't see them with the naked eye. The telescope is used to see things far away, to bring them closer, to be able to see what we cannot see with the naked eye. Same way with a rifle scope, to bring us in, to make our vision sharper. But we also we use this word as, and it's precisely what an episkopos was in ancient Greece, except that it was a person, not an instrument. When I come to visit you at your house, again, I come to visit you. The Latin word videre is to see. We get our word, if you translate it into English, we talk about that this videre, if you add the intensification on it, we get the word visor, but we put the epi on there, we get a supervisor. What does a supervisor do? He comes to look intensely, deeply, and fully understand what's going on. I was called a preload supervisor. So when I came up to you and you were working for me, I would be looking intensely and fully at what you were doing. The episkopos was a person who was a looker, but not just a looker, a super looker. As we look deeply to fully understand, the episkopos was also a high-ranking military officer who inspected the troops to be sure they were be ready for battle. We can see the background. We can see that a bishop is one who gives oversight into the church with responsibility to look closely at all matters. But what I want you to understand is that Jesus is called our episkopos. He is the chief episkopos, the chief overseer. That he has come to give oversight, and he is vested with the power to come and look into our lives and to gauge our readiness for combat and battle. Now, I like that. It really helps me to think about God when he is called the chief episkopos. He has come to visit us. And the word there is in middle voice. It means to go, to see, to relieve, to look out, to visit. I like that, to relieve the people. How's he going to relieve us? He's going to redeem us. He's going to redeem his people. He is coming through this. And this blessing that Zacharias is sharing is that he's saying God's coming into our neighborhood to visit, to see us. Isn't that good? That's good stuff. I mean, I think it's good. I hope that you do. I hope it was helpful to you. Zechariah sings, "Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited to be the bishop, to be the overseer, the episkopos of his people." Second, Zechariah sings, "Jesus will redeem his people." He's called the Redeemer. And it's important for us to see, what's a Redeemer do? The act of providing payment for someone. We talked about that earlier when I read from the book, to provide payment for somebody. He's going to redeem us. He's paying the price for us. And so we know that he came. What is he going to do? He's going to deliver us from our enemies. Look at verse 68. It says, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation." And he mentions that horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. David, the horn of salvation is a term for Jesus, the Messiah, and it refers back to the Davidic covenant. These are promises that God made in the past that he's faithful to. He doesn't change. He's immutable. He doesn't lie to us. He doesn't make stuff up. He is telling us and referring back to the promises that he made through that the line of Christ is coming through the Davidic reign, that he will be a ruler. And he's a horn of salvation. It means he has strength, enormous strength. You know, we use the term strong as a ox, right? We use that term. And that's the way Israel would have seen this. This would have been indicating great strength, that he's a horn of salvation for us in the house of the servant David. Notice it says, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old. God will visit and redeem his people through this promise that he made, not only through the Davidic line, but also through the Abrahamic covenant back in Genesis 12, repeated in 15, repeated in Genesis 17, and Genesis 22, repeated over and over again, telling us that God, all people will be blessed through Abraham. And so God in Abraham is referring back that God keeps his covenant, that he's going to send us a redemption. The word redemption implies those being redeemed are in bondage. People are in bondage. Slaves need redemption, not free people. God's salvation comes to those who know that they are enslaved by sin. This is further underscored twice by stating that God is saving his people from the hand of their enemies who hate them. Now, while this is there's a national political aspect to this, it is to be fulfilled when Christ comes a second time to deliver Israel from her enemies and establish his millennial kingdom. It also has a personal spiritual understanding of this. When God says that I'm going to deliver you from your enemies, what are our enemies? Darkness, right? The darkness, the skotos, not the skopos, the darkness, the skotos, that Jesus Christ is the light that comes into the darkness. We have seen a great light, and the people are in darkness. It says they are in the shadow of death all the time. They were living in it, dwelling there. And that God has sent a great light, a great horn of salvation to deliver his people. He has come to visit us. He is the divine visitor to come to do what? To come to visit us, to see, to look fully and understand, but to redeem us. Now, if you got time, and you do have time, let's go look at 1 Peter chapter 2 for just a second. And you guys can turn back there in your Bibles if you have your Bibles together. You got to find 1 and 2 Peter. They're in the back, almost to Revelation, but not. Okay? 1 Peter 2. Starting at verse 21. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revel in return, and when he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness." Die to sin, live to righteousness. "By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and episkopos of your soul." Isn't that good? the overseer, the bishop of our souls. Jesus is the true shepherd, to the ultimate shepherd, to the chief shepherd and overseer of our souls. He's the one that has come to visit. Not only has he come to visit, he's come to live in us, which is a powerful thing when you think about this visitation. He has come to us. He's not far, he's near. And so he is willing to lift up those who are humble. Remember that? And he is willing to feed those and fill those who are hungry. But he says, I send away the rich empty. Why does he send? You can have the greatest, you can have, they are never satisfied. They are they have an emptiness. And they need this filling of the Savior. They need their souls to be filled. No amount of money can fill you. I mean, after a while, you know, I don't care if I pay, like I told this to the second group last week, is that I can pay $100 for a steak or I can pay $5 for a steak, but it doesn't matter. It still tastes like a steak. You say, well, they flavored a little better. It's like I've lost my, you know, I enjoy going out to a nice restaurant with people. I love nice restaurants, don't get me wrong. But that is not my ultimate filling. My ultimate filling comes from God, who fills those who are hungry. We have to come humbly and hungry. And that's what Mary was singing about. And here we have Zechariah pent up with this overwhelming thing of saying that God, our divine visitor, has come to see us. He has come to see us. He's not just seeing you, just kind of stopping in to leap. He is fully wanting to come in and understand all that's going on in your life. And he knows it already, that we are in need of salvation. We cannot save ourselves. We are in need of redemption. So he's not only coming to visit, Zechariah says, he's coming to redeem us. And so he's wanting to show us mercy in verse 72. In verse 73, deliver us from the hand of our enemies. Deliver us from danger. What are dangers that we see? Darkness. The darkness of sin. The Bible says that we are blinded by the enemy. Disease. We know about disease right now, don't we? But God is going to deliver us from disease, all diseases. And the devil. The devil is the enemy who blinds us. The Bible says that the God of this world blinds us. So God came to visit us so that we may see. The people who are dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. Now, Jesus is the divine visitor. We were straying like sheep. He is the great overseer, the episkopos, or episkometai, episkotomai, to go to see, to relieve, to help us. And so Zechariah's song is addressing now in verse, starting at 76, his own child, John. If you look there in 76, it says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare his way. How is he going to prepare his way? Well, he's going to give knowledge of salvation. God has a transforming message of salvation. And so he gives light to those who sit in darkness. Look in verse 78. It says, because the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. In this beautiful song, Zechariah sings of being purchased from slavery, redeemed, delivered from danger, forgiveness of debt, and the dawning of a new day. Isaiah 40, verse 3 says, a voice cries in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord and make straight in the desert the highway for God. To make ready for the people, to make the people ready for God. The people were given the knowledge of salvation. How do we have the knowledge of salvation? We've been given the scriptures. John was coming as the forerunner to the Messiah, that he was the first man to be able to prepare his people for the Savior. So he provides forgiveness for those who are sinners. Now, I wrote some words there to remember and return. I'd like for you to write this verse down, this chapter, in Isaiah 44. If you want to turn back there with me, if you've got time, you've got time to turn to chapter 44. And verse 2. God's saying something to these people. Verses 1 and 2 in chapter 44 of Isaiah. He says, but now hear, O Jacob, my servant. Remember, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. But now, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen, thus says the Lord, who made you, who formed you out from the womb and will help you. Now, this is a powerful allusion to back in Exodus. Because when God called the people and said to Pharaoh, let my people go, they were not a people, but he called them out. And a nation was born, the nation of Israel was born when that occurred. And so God says, remember when you were born. Remember your birth. And that's what we're all talking about here today is don't forget your birth. God says to remember. In verse 21 of Isaiah 44, he says, remember these things, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. Remember, I remember you, he says. I don't forget you. Remember me, that I formed you. I will not forget you. Secondly, in verse 22 of Isaiah 44, he says, I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. How will he do that? Well, what was John's message to us? It was to return. Repent, he says, repent of your sins. Turn away from your sin. Who are you supposed to turn to? Jesus. Repent, repent, return to me, God is saying to the people in Isaiah 44, 22. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Now, what is the problem with man? Man struggles with this. How can I return to God? I feel like I have to fix myself before I can return to God. And it's important for us to know that we can't fix ourselves. We need to turn to God, turn to Christ, and let him teach us. Spurgeon talked about this, that he was saved when a preacher was preaching out of Isaiah 45, the chapter right beside it. In verse 22, it was the verse that saved him. A simple country preacher in a Methodist church was giving a message, and Spurgeon is sitting in his congregation, and he's sitting there, and the man says these words. In my Bible, it says, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. In the version that was read to Spurgeon, it was, look to me, look to me. So Spurgeon, for the rest of his life, is saved because of this message of turning to the Lord. And he says that it's important for us to understand that it's hard for a man to lower his pride when we hear the word, the Lord say, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. It's not look to your priest and be ye saved. If you did, there would be another God, and besides him, there would be someone else. It is not look to yourself. If so, then there would be a being who might be arrogant, an arrogant some of the praise of salvation. But it is look unto me. How frequently you who are coming to Christ look to yourselves. You say, I do not repent enough. That's looking to yourself. I do not believe enough. That is looking to yourself. I am too unworthy. That is looking to yourself. I cannot discover, says another, that I have any righteousness. It is quite right to say that you have not any righteousness, but it is quite wrong to look for any. It is look unto me. You see what he's saying? He's saying, God is saying, look unto God. Turn to God. Let him teach you. Let Jesus teach you how to be righteous before the Lord. Don't look to yourself. Look unto God and let Jesus teach you. So when we remember and we return, we see that God's transforming message is light for those who sit in darkness. What does light do? Light burns away the fog. It blots out the transgressions, the cloud of transgressions. It burns that cloud away. It says your sins are like a mist. He says, I've forgiven your sins. The light of Christ has burnt away the mist or the fog or the transgressions, the cloud of transgressions that's been over our life, the things that have been a barrier between you and me. Isaiah 44, 22 says, I have blotted them out. God has done this for us. So he says, look to me. Turn to me for your salvation. That's who we need to look to. And Zechariah is singing about it because the sunrise will visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness. The light will enable God's people who live in darkness to see how to walk in straight paths that leads to the way of peace. We are still on the road, but so many will stumble for the lack of light. To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet to the way of peace. Look into God. Look into God. He provides the light that we need. Look into God. He provides the forgiveness. He will blot out your transgressions, the cloud of transgressions. He will burn off the mist of your sins. He will throw them into the sea of forgetfulness. Look unto God. He is the way of peace. He will guide your feet. Turn to Jesus. He loves you. Come to Christ. Let's pray. Father God, as we look unto you now, may you teach our spirit to remember and return. You are the Redeemer. You are the great horn of salvation, the divine visitor, the bishop of our souls. Lord, let us give over to you what belongs to you, that you would rule and reign in our life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Rise and sing.